Well, hello, it's the top of the hour, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad you've joined me today for today's lesson. Today we're going to talk about something a little bit unusual. We're going to be talking about how you can become the difference maker for your team, even if you're not the boss. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program, and it's about how do we influence other people. 400 years ago, John Knox said, "You cannot antagonize and influence at the same time." Man, do we see that on social media. And Lead Yourself First, it's your system to help you develop the influence skills that are going to help you figure out whether you're antagonizing or influencing. Skills that are going to help you today and every day. My goal in this program is to give you access to the thinking, the ideas, and the examples that are going to help you learn faster than other people, grow faster than other people, and be prepared when opportunities come your way. Now, there's more to achievement than just knowledge. People skills and tools are critically important, and the great news is that these skills and these tools are readily available if you'll take advantage of them. I'm excited for you being a part of this program because I know that you take this seriously, and you invest in yourself, and if you do that, you're going to see successes that you can't even imagine today. These things are in your future. It's just a matter of time. So the question that I always ask in a Lead Yourself First lesson is, how are you going to act when we're done with today's lesson? What's something you can apply as we're going through the ideas in the lesson? Think about, what can I apply? What can I change? What can I teach? And remember, when I say teach, I don't mean get on a teaching call like this one. What I mean is, how can you begin to share an idea with somebody you know? That's all. Now, I've been looking forward to today's lesson. I look forward to this because, I love this stuff. It's enriching and it's exciting to me to be able to encourage other people to become the catalyst, the difference maker, the reason for the change that happens in a team. Now, I'm a natural teacher, and as a natural teacher, I just can't get enough of helping people to have that light bulb moment. And you can do that for people, too. But in order to make that happen, people are going to need your help. Now, over the next few minutes together, we're going to unpack some things that are going to allow you to be an inspiration to other people. And as you begin to inspire other people, it's going to make a difference in your team. If you can take one idea from today and put it into practice for the next 30 days, you're going to be astonished at what you find. The outcome for you is going to be incredible. And how do I know? Because these are time-tested and proven ideas. That's what this program is designed and built on. For some of you, you might want to go farther. You might want to go deeper. You might want to work more specifically on being that difference maker. And if that's true, I promise at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share with you a way you can do that. Fair enough? Now, in a previous lesson, we talked about connecting with other people and how human connection is the heart of all productive work. Today's lesson is related because we're going to be talking about how you can be the difference maker by inspiring people on your team. I don't want this to be all squishy. I want this to be practical and applicable. But it's important for you to recognize that you have the power to inspire your team members by meeting their needs, in particular by meeting their unmet needs. And we talked about that a little in the Connecting with People lesson, and I want to go further in this lesson today. What is the difference between people who ultimately succeed and people who don't? What's the difference between people who ultimately succeed and people who don't? I believe that it comes down to what Henry Ford said. He said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. What makes the difference between whether you think you can or whether you think you can't? I want you to bear with me for just a moment here because this is a little bit on the squishy side. It's a little bit deep. But bear with me. the difference between whether I think I can or think I can't has to do with my belief. What do I believe about myself? Belief in your abilities, it's what inspires you to get up in the morning. Your underlying belief that you can is what makes it even possible for you to do. Now, of course, if you believe you can fly like a bird with just your arms, or if you believe you can teleport yourself, that's not going to happen. But what if? What if there was a way to do something like those things? And what if your passion and your belief drove you to try to do those things? When it comes to flight, let's look at the Wright brothers. They were working on powered manned flight, and they were scoffed at. People did not believe it was possible, and it was unbelievably difficult. We so take for granted that there are planes flying all over the place. But just 120 years ago, that had never, ever, ever happened. In fact, deeply enmeshed in trying to solve that problem, one of the Wright brothers said, "This problem is so hard that man will not fly for 1,000 years. But 18 months later, they flew. And being able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes, impossible. Not physically possible for humans to do. It was impossible until Bannister did it. Our ability to conceive of things and our belief that we can achieve them is what leads us to actually doing it. There was an American poet named Edgar Guest, and he wrote a poem called "It Could Not Be Done." And one portion of the poem goes like this. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. The person who believes it can be done has a much greater chance of actually doing it. So what does this concept of our belief have to do with a lesson called the difference maker? If your performance is tied to your belief, then doesn't it follow that your team's performance is tied to what they believe about themselves? If your performance is tied to your belief, doesn't it follow that your team's performance is tied to what they believe about themselves? And what role can you play in helping them be the best they can be? I'm talking about the reality of helping your team members, whether they report to you or not, or whether you're, even if your leadership role is an informal one. Maybe you're not the boss. Maybe you're not the team lead, the tech lead, the supervisor. Maybe you're just one of the people on the crew. But the fact is that everybody has the ability to influence others. And you, the reality is you can help your team members by meeting their unmet needs, by helping them think about what they're capable of doing. But if we're going to be in the business of meeting unmet needs, what is it that people need from us? Well, John Maxwell says our human needs include recognition, belonging, encouragement, positive self-worth, perspective, and probably most importantly, hope. Now, I do not have at my command the time to deal with all of those human needs. But over the next few minutes together, I want to talk about encouragement and hope. Let's start with hope. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? You ever feel just filled with dread or despair? Well, there are days I feel that way. There are moments where I feel that way. And let me assure you that your team members do too. If you want to be a difference maker, you need to be able to offer them hope. I'm reminded of the story about a farmer who used to hitch up his old mule to a two-horse plow every day, and he would say, "Get up, Beauregard, get up, Satchel, get up, Roger, Robert, get up, Betty Lou." And one day, his neighbor, hearing the farmer, asked, "How many names does that mule have?" "Oh, he only has one," answered the farmer. "His name is Pete. But I put blinders on him and call out all the other names, so he'll think the other mules are working with him. He plows much better when he has hope that he's not doing it all on his own." Is that true for us too? Don't we need hope and help? Aren't there times where you kind of feel so discouraged that you think, man, this just isn't possible? And can you remember a time in your life when someone gave you a positive word, where they loaned you some of their hope? We all face disappointment and discouragement. It's a part of our lives. But hope is something we can share. Now, for some of us, the way we were raised contributes to our thinking. And when we begin to take something on, maybe we hear those voices of family members. That maybe it was our mom or our dad or a well-intentioned grandmother saying, better safe than sorry. And maybe you heard nobody in our family's ever gone to school. Who do you think you are wanting to live like that? We're not those kind of people. Or why would you reject your family like that? Don't you know who we are? We're not like that. Now, even if you didn't have those kinds of voices in your life, perhaps, and this is more likely, perhaps for you, it's an internal voice that says, I can't do that. Or who do I think I am? Or that internal voice that says, well, you tried that and failed. You really want to fail again? For many of us, that still small voice or the raging, screaming voice in our heads is constantly telling us that we can't. And here's the problem with it. It's true. It's true that we will fail sometimes. Evangelist D.L. Moody famously said, if I could kick the person most responsible for my troubles, I would not be able to sit down for a week. We do have power. We are able to influence whether we succeed or whether we fail, whether we win or whether we lose. And we have these voices that are going to speak to us about it. I just sat down with my niece the other day. She's in college, and we talked about her long-term plans and what her hopes were for her achievement. Whenever she would allow herself to begin to approach some big, hairy, audacious goal, she would react physically. She would pull back in her chair and her voice would get really quiet. As a coach, I asked her, what if? What are you afraid of? And finally, she said out loud, what if I die? Now, we were not, I want to be super clear, we were not talking about skydiving or scuba diving in underwater caverns. We're talking about classes and career options for a very bright, capable young woman. And her voice in her head said, I might die. And this was not a one-time fleeting thought for her. It was a part of her recurring reality. And I bet if you were unflinchingly honest, that you would be able to admit that there are things that you say to you that you would never tolerate other people saying to someone you dearly loved. But it's how we work. We often say negative things to ourselves. And others do that too. They say negative things about themselves to themselves over and over and over and over again. And you can't fix what's going on in somebody else's head. But what if you could offer them some hope that they could be successful? What if you were the one person where the people on your team found hope? Napoleon said, leaders are dealers in hope. And what if you became the person who could be relied on to offer that hope, even when things looked grim? Now, I want to take just a moment to talk about why it is we might not be that source of hope. You may be stealing hope from others and may not even realize that you're doing it. Because how you feel about the other person directly affects how you act. Even if you're convinced you're hiding how you feel, you're not. And if under all of it you are convinced that the other guy is a bozo, you're going to dismiss them. And not only that, but your attitude toward that person is going to be negative too. If you really feel like that person has nothing good to offer, you're going to communicate that clearly, both in words and in your body language. But what if your assessment of them is wrong? What if they actually have great insights, and those great insights are hidden by the occasional dopey things that they say or do. And we all say or do dopey things sometimes, and maybe you've just seen them at their worst. I certainly would not want to be judged by me, by my deeds when I was at my worst. What if there's something you haven't seen? I mean, let me unpack this for a moment. Have you ever made a mistake? Maybe you said or did something embarrassing, perhaps completely innocently, but you messed up big time. Have you ever looked back on that time and criticized yourself? I have. I'm convinced everyone does that. In fact, just about everyone has a constantly running series of messages playing on repeat in their subconscious mind, telling them they're not smart enough, they're not liked, they're not good enough, they make all kinds of mistakes, that they're unworthy, and on and on and on and on and on. But what if you were the one person in the life of someone else, that one person who expressed hope for them, who communicated to them that they have potential, who communicated to them that they can achieve? Dale Carnegie talked about how much the way you see someone affects them when he famously said, "Give a dog a bad name and you might as well hang him." If you constantly tell your pet they're bad or wrong, or you communicate anger to them, you're going to get lots more bad behavior. The same thing is true with people. Criticizing people just doesn't work. One philosopher said, "Treat a man as he appears to be and you make him worse. But treat a man as if he already were what he potentially could be and you make him what he should be." Treat a man as he appears to be and you make him worse. But treat a man as if he already were what he potentially could be and you make him what he should be. Hope. It's a powerful gift that we give to others. And what if you were the person who constantly, intentionally looked for the good in people? What if you were the one who spotted the potential in other people? What if you were known as the most encouraging person around? That's what happened to a man from Cyprus called Joseph. Joseph was so positive, so helpful, that the people around him gave him a nickname. The nickname they called him was Son of Encouragement, or Encourager. What if you saw so much potential in others, so much hope for them, and you were so encouraging that when people thought of you, they thought of encouragement? You see, that's why we don't remember the name Joseph. But as we look in the Bible, we do see how influential the man called Barnabas was. And I'll suggest to you that one reason he was a difference maker and was called the Son of Encouragement is because he made a practice to look for things he could be positive about. So what if that person who is nothing special today turns out to have incredible hidden talents? Let me tell you a true story about a young man named Tommy. Tommy had a really hard time in school. He constantly asked questions. He frustrated his teacher, and he never could quite keep up. It seemed everything that Tommy tried, he failed. His teacher finally gave up on him and told his mother that Tommy's not going to be able to learn and Tommy's not going to amount to much in life. But Tommy's mother believed in him. She taught him at home, and each time he failed, she gave him hope, and she encouraged him to keep trying. So whatever happened to Tommy? Well, Tommy became an inventor, and he eventually held over 1,000 patents, including one for the phonograph and the first commercially practical electric light bulb. His name was Thomas Edison. When people have hope, you can't possibly know how far they can go. Why not be that person who gives hope to other people? So let's talk for a moment about encouragement, because I believe that hope and encouragement are tied to each other. One of my favorite quotes is from the founder of Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy said, "How do you know if someone needs encouragement? If they're breathing." I heard a story about a woman who moved to a small town, and shortly after she got there, she complained to her new neighbor about how poor the service was at the local drugstore, and she was hoping that the neighbor would repeat the complaint to the owner of the drugstore. Now, the next time she went to the drugstore, the druggist greeted her with a big smile and told her how happy he was to see her again and said he hoped she'd like their new town. And he offered himself as a resource to her and her husband as they were getting settled, and then he took care of her order quickly and efficiently. Later, the young woman reported about this incredible change to her friend. "Well, I suppose you told him how poor I thought his service was," she asked. "Well, no," the neighbor said. "In fact, and I hope you don't mind, I told him you were amazed at the way he had built up this small-town drugstore, and you thought it was one of the best-run drugstores you'd ever seen." Isn't it interesting how the situation changed? Not from complaints, but from compliments. Now, I'm not advocating you do as the neighbor did, because lying is not a good way to work, but what I will say is that people will respond to you differently when you encourage them than when you criticize them. Now, I'm not talking about flattery. Flattery is false praise. It's nonsense. And anyone who's content to receive false praise and be puffed up because of that alone, they're not strong enough to be a great team member. We're definitely not talking about flattery. But helping your team members believe the best about themselves, it's a major factor in their success or their failure. Years ago, when I was overseeing a team of technology folks, I had a stack of post-it notes printed with my name on them, and occasionally I'd remember to recognize that a team member had gone above and beyond and done a great job, and usually it was something small, but I made a point of being specific about the thing they had done, and I'd write them a short note saying, "Thanks for the way you handled that problem with X. I love that Gene was so satisfied with the solution you came up with," and I'd sign my name. And I'd take that sticky note, and I'd put it right in the middle of my team member's monitor. I can't tell you what impact that had. I mean, those notes would be spotted by my team members. They'd be pulled from the screen. But you know what? Years later, I would see those notes stuck to the frame of their monitor in their office. A moment of my noticing, a moment of my remembering, a moment of me commenting and giving them brief, specific, handwritten praise, it led to years of encouragement for my team members. Who can you encourage today? All right, it's almost time for your personal action plan, and as you're getting ready for that, I want to share some practical ideas about how to be the difference maker. How to be that person who is known as the giver of hope and the giver of encouragement. First, commit yourself to choosing to be the difference maker. Don't just show up and respond. That's what most of us do. What I want you to do is be intentional about going in to be the difference maker. Next, I want you to believe in other people. Don't just see them for where they are today. They do have potential. Look for it and then help them see it. People rise or fall based on the expectations of the people closest to them. If you can give the people around you hope and trust, they're going to do everything they can to live up to your expectations for them. Thirdly, invest time in other people. You just can't influence people from a distance. You can't connect with others unless you are with them, investing time in them. And once they begin to believe in themselves, they're not going to need as much time, but it is an investment that you make right at first. You choose to invest and look for improvements. You want to praise every improvement and add more encouragement as they make progress. Next, give people opportunities to excel. When they try and they succeed, it makes a huge difference in their self-esteem and the way they see themselves. Give people those opportunities, support them as they try things, and help them see just how successful they can be. Communicate to them that your goal is to see them get better and better and better and better until they reach their potential. Hope and encouragement. These are the critical components of being a difference maker. So I'm going to leave you with one question today. And you've heard this question from me several times in this lesson. What if? What if? What if? For your action plan, what is the one idea you're going to apply, change, or teach? If you're with your team as you listen to this, now's a great time for group discussion about hope and encouragement. Take a few moments to talk with the team about what we covered today. What are you doing well in this area? What are you not doing so well? Who can you encourage? What are areas where hope is needed for your team? Now, you might be one of those folks who wants to go deeper, wants to commit more and learn more on this topic. And for you, I've got a 4-session coaching program program based on John Maxwell's book, Becoming a Person of Influence. It's where I found most of the ideas for today's lesson, and it's where you'll find a treasure trove of ideas that are going to help you as you work to become a difference maker. I love this resource, and I would love spending time with you in it. This 4-session coaching package is just $249 a person. That sounds interesting. Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.